afternoon. It is one bell of the afternoon watch, and this is your Captain Joe up in the captain's chair on the magical Isle of Vashon, back from my travels to Duluth, Minnesota. The sign from the Vashon Presbyterian Church, which is right across Vashon Highway Southwest from the Gene Bosch Memorial Studio, which is from whence do I broadcast, says congrats. The word is congratulations. Class of 2024. To all of you graduates out there, whether it be the admission to the degree of Doctor of Philosophy or Medical Doctor or some other doctorate or a master's degree or a bachelor's degree or graduating high school or promotion from kindergarten to first grade. From your captain's chair go my greetings to all of you and my congratulations and best wishes. Not congrats. Congratulations, and the most loving and warm best wishes. Also, greetings to all who attend reunions and musters and officers' call to quarters. All of these gatherings that are so important because they do two things. They help keep alive the stories of the units that are being honored and that are reuniting their members. They keep alive the stories of all of those units. A great example of that is my Army unit, to which I am an honorary member through Captain O'Brien. But also, they get together people who may not have been together for many, many years, and in some cases are not going to get together for the next one, because between now and then will come their crossing of their particular bar. So I have just returned from one of those musters, and I will be talking briefly about it a little farther on in the broadcast, but in the traditional greeting spot, my greetings to all who have graduated and moved up one ladder, one rung in the educational ladder, and to all of you who have felt it important enough that you go and be with your shipmates, your classmates, your Army buddies, whoever it is, whatever unit it is to which you belong. The binnacle list today has a couple of sad entries to it. There have been some improvements. There have been some surgeries from which recoveries are moving along in a smart and seaman-like fashion. And there are some procedures, other kinds of procedures, which are accomplishing the mission for which they were and are designed. But in the last week, and this came to me, I read this piece of traffic after I'd returned from my most recent trip to Duluth, and a friend here on the island, one of my longest-standing friends, a Vietnam veteran, an infantry officer in Vietnam, now been diagnosed with a very serious cancer, and I am awaiting a full report as to what the prognosis is. May it be a good one. The other piece of sad news is that the magazine or newspaper for this week is the one called Scuttlebutt, which comes from the Coast Guard Cutter Ingham Association. And it has a couple of pieces in it that I want to talk about if I have time toward the end of the broadcast. But the one piece of information in it is that my old friend, my brother, Ingham Captain Marty Moynihan, has lost his wife, Cindy, and that was reported to all of us who have sailed in that fine ship through the Ingham newsletter called Scuttlebutt. My hand touching fingertips with my old friend, Captain Moynihan. Marty is 4 or 5 years junior to me at the academy and is a number of years behind me in command of Ingham. And Ingham, of course, I remain her senior living captain. Marty, I am so sorry. The muster to which I went to Duluth, Minnesota, turned out to be a wonderful gathering in ways that, in one way that I had not expected. It started out as a gathering of people who had sailed in the Coast Guard Cutter-Storrs, a ship that has now been scrapped. There was an effort to save her. She was, for a while, the oldest Coast Guard cutter and thus entitled to have gold numbers up on her hull, number 38. And she was, when it was time for her to be decommissioned after a life of over 60 years, a strong effort was made to save her and have her become a museum ship. The timing and the congruency of finances and politics did not work out for her, just as it did not work out for my much-loved Northwind, both of whom were broken up, were scrapped. Of course, my Ingham is still with us. She is in Key West, Florida. You yourself can go and see her. She looks absolutely beautiful, and she floats. She is not in a graving dock or sitting up on blocks. She is actually afloat. Her beautiful General Electric turbines are still in her. The boilers are still in her. But it would take a great deal of work to get her underway again under her original power. Anyway, Storrs was the catalyst. And then Storrs ended her life in Kodiak, Alaska. And so the gathering was expanded to other units that had homeported in Kodiak, Alaska. And then it got extended and expanded beyond that. And we ended up with people who were connected with Storrs peripherally, and that includes me. And the reason that it was held in Duluth was that Storrs was built in the Great Lakes. And Duluth was selected because the railhead for the iron ore, which comes from the Mesabi mines, is in Duluth, and that's where the ore boats are loaded. And they sail out of Duluth and go from there to the mill towns along the south shore of Lake Erie. And so the gathering ended up with over 100 people. And one of the events was a cruise in the now-retired Coast Guard cutter Sundew, an 180-foot buoy tender. And the man who now owns Sundew was very gracious and generous to offer a cruise to all of the reunion attendees, and so they went out into Lake Superior and then came back in and did a tour of the inner harbor. One of the other events, and this is was a tour of Station Duluth commanded by Coast Guard Master Chief Bosun's mate, and a tour of the Coast Guard cutter Spar. Spar carries an honored name in Coast Guard history because the original Spar was one of the first of the three cutters that made the first circumnavigation of the North American continent in 1957. The current Spar is larger, heavier, much more complex. And this tour gave all of us, and in particular your Captain Joe, the opportunity to talk to the young hands who are manning our Coast Guard today, and in particular for me, the enlisted hands. I did my broadcast from SPARS, my broadcast last week. Those of you who are loyal, dedicated, and constant listeners know that I did my broadcast last week from SPARS Wardroom, and I had the captain, and I had the one of the chief petty officers. I had a very young and freshly caught fireman from way down in the engine room, and I had young Ensign Bland, who had been our tour guide and who had been making all the arrangements on our behalf. Your captain got to pontificate at some great length. And part of that pontification came in teaching Mr. Bland, who aspires to be a Coast Guard aviator. I said, do you know why Coast Guard aviators are called brown shoes and naval aviators are called brown shoes? And I'm a black shoe. I'm a ship driver. No, Captain Joe, I don't know the answer to that. And it turns out that his father is also a retired Coast Guard brown shoe. And I said, well, you can ask your dad, but you don't have to ask your dad because I'm going to tell you. And I told him the story. Then we went up onto the bridge, and up on the bridge was this young lieutenant who is the operations officer, the ops boss. And I said, ops boss, what is your next assignment? Because it was clear that he was being transferred this summer. And he said, I'm going to the academy as a navigation instructor. And I said, wonderful, then you know all about sextants. Could we inspect the sextants that you no doubt have? Because buoy tenders up until the days of global positioning system and the dynamic positioning systems located buoys very precisely using horizontal sextant angles. Time, space preclude me from giving a detailed description of how that works, but I asked this young ops boss, this young lieutenant, if he knew how to do that. No, Captain Joe, I never heard of that. That earned him the detailed description of how it worked. And I said, now let's get out your sextants. And he said, I don't know where they are. So we did a search of the bridge, and way down in a bottom drawer, we opened up the drawer, and I said, aha, there they are in their wooden boxes. Wooden boxes which clearly have not been properly cared for. They were not varnished. So I said, let's open them up and take a look at them. And we did. And I said, well, ops boss, in your new job as an instructor in navigation at the Coast Guard Academy, you're going to have to learn how to handle a sextant, how to use it, and how to adjust it yourself. And clearly, these have not been handled for a long time. And I said, do you know how to properly carry the sextant box so that it not fly open and the contents thereof spill out onto the deck, thus destroying its adjustment? No, Captain Joe, I don't know how to do that. That earned him yet another tutorial. It was a glorious, glorious day. And after we had the final banquet and I delivered my remarks, it should be no surprise to you that my remarks included, as they almost always do, my reference to shipmates and my conviction that the whole business of leadership can be captured in my expression, that is, that we accomplish the mission and we take care of the hands that are entrusted to us to carry out that mission. And the old cavalry saying, the good general ensures that his men and his horses are fed before himself. After that, the next day, I was privileged to spend some time with the organizer of the reunion, John, J-O-N, and his lovely family. And one of the things that we did was that we went to Split Rock Lighthouse. Split Rock is no longer watching, but it is being maintained in incredibly beautiful condition. And I took the opportunity to find the manager, the director, and talk to him about lighthouses, because inside Split Rock, they have their original third-order clamshell Fresnel lens. My black captain's heart, if I was still in a position to not only wish or desire, but to command, would make Split Rock Light watch properly again. We made a big mistake when we decommissioned some of those lights. But I am not going to get into that today because I've got to move along in a smart and seamanlike fashion. The next big reunion that to which I'm going is the one for the Coast Guard Cutter and also former Navy Icebreaker Glacier. It'll be in September, the end of September, in Mystic, Connecticut, near the Academy and near the new and under-construction Coast Guard Museum. Thanks to my loyal and dedicated and constant listener who lives in Lothian, Maryland, the news came to me that the bridge, the Francis Scott Key Bridge, all of the pieces have now been removed out of the fairway, and we are back to a 700-foot wide fairway, a wonderful piece of work on the part of the combined task force led by the captain of the port. I then followed up on that report from Pam and got into a piece from G Captain. And in that piece from G Captain, the head of the Army Corps of Engineers, an Army colonel, Colonel Estee Pinchason, took credit for having she single-handed almost completely cleared that channel. In nowhere in her press release was there a mention of the words, Coast Guard. But I'm saying them right here. That captain of the port did a wonderful job. And now shipping can go back and forth. The fairway is open to the full 700-foot wide and to the 50-foot depth. And that is something that would have, under other circumstances and with other people, taken months, if not more than a year. A well done and a bravo Zulu to the captain of the port and to all of those people, including the Army Corps of Engineers and including the Navy's Sea Systems Command that was the contractor for those heavy lift cranes. The dates, the one that I did not talk about last week because I had to move along smartly with the crew in Spar, was that on the 6th of June, of course, was D-Day, 80th anniversary of D-Day. And that's an especially important time for Coast Guard people because not only did we man many of the invasion craft that hit the beach at Omaha, but also because the Rescue Flotilla 1, under the direction of Captain Quinton Walsh, USCG, that picked up so many people as they went, as their landing craft got hit, or they ran aground. And Rescue Flotilla 1 picked up many, many people. I don't have the numbers, but it was a completely Coast Guard operation. And some of the 83-foot, they were wooden 83-foot long vessels, and they had Sterling Viking gasoline engines in them. And many of them survived to serve in the Coast Guard for many, many years after that. The second event coming up is Flag Day on the 14th of June. And Flag Day is observed here on the Magical Isle because the American Legion and people of who may not be Legionnaires, but for one reason or another, are part of the chamber effort. We'll put flags out all along Vashon Highway Southwest here in the town of Vashon. And then on Sunday is Father's Day. Now, you all have heard me talk about my feelings about Mother's Day, and they are the same as they are for Father's Day. I am a father, a grandfather. I am now a great-grandfather. Isn't that a kick in the butt? And so I am honored every single day. And it is my hope and my wish and my command that every dad out there be honored every single day of his life, of their lives, by their children and their grandchildren and their great-grandchildren and their wives and their partners and their friends and their classmates and their shipmates. I will be spending the day out at Point Robinson Light giving tours and giving out healthy dog treats. So it will be Dads and Dogs Day at Point Robinson Light. And I will really look forward to that. We'll have a really good time with the dads and dogs. And so a happy Father's Day every day, as is Mother's Day every day, in the heart and soul, the black captain's heart of your Captain Joe. The sad news comes from our sister service, the Navy. I don't know yet exactly what's going on. This year, there seem to be more reliefs of commanding officers, of floating units and aviation units. In other words, the operational people, the ones who are actually out there doing their father's business. I'm not talking about all these staff pukies, of which there are platoons and regiments and divisions of them, no more so than in my own service. But here, just this last week, two things came to me. First of all, USS Somerset. She is a landing ship dock, and she's commanded by Captain Michelle Brandt, and she has been relieved. That makes, to my thinking, maybe as many as 15 or 20, which makes me wonder and question how the command selection boards are operating in the Navy, where people who should have questionable activities in their past, by the time they get to be captain or commander — commanders, by the way, a parenthetical insertion — commanders in the Navy often are in their first command if they are the captain of an Arleigh Burke-class destroyer. First command. Complicated ship, big ship, complicated. Both McCain and Fitzgerald, Arleigh Burke-class destroyers, both of them sailors died. So now Captain Brandt has been relieved in USS Somerset. And the other one, which is so sad and so tragic, and the former Vice Chief of Naval Operations, Admiral, 4-star, Robert Burke, indicted in a bribery scheme when he was the commander of naval forces in Europe. Somewhere, somehow, someplace, things are getting missed, getting lost. I put this in the same sea bag as I put the terrible tragedies of assaults on shipmates, classmates. I have on purpose not yet talked about that. I'm going to, but I need to, first of all, get my own thinking in some kind of order that will make sense to me. But it is not complicated. When we lose our sense of what is right and wrong, and every now and then probably all of us lose that at one time or another. But Admiral Burke sure as hell knew when he made whatever arrangements he made, if in fact this indictment turns out to provide a guilty verdict. And I have to believe that that indictment was not brought until there was an incredibly exhaustive investigation. This kind of thing just breaks my heart. Because when I go to ships like Spar, or 2 years ago, almost 2 years ago, I did my broadcast from the dry dock underneath the Coast Guard Polar Star, and I had a chance to talk to all kinds of the young people that are manning our Coast Guard today. They deserve, as they have deserved since 1790, the very best leadership that the service can provide, the very best. That leadership may not be politically correct. They may, in fact, all of us have our own challenges in all different kinds of ways. But there is a rightness and a goodness that comes out of how we take care of the people that are entrusted to us. And Admiral Burke, if in fact all of this is true, then you really let down every single person that you were privileged to ever command in your career. I'm not going to get into that anymore because mercifully the clock is beginning to tell me that I have to wind this up. But so I'm going to couple of other things and leave Admiral Burke to swelter in the wake of his own disaster, if in fact all of that is true. Captain Brandt in Somerset to regret whatever caused her to be relieved, and all of those other captains, all of those other aviators who were in command positions, who have violated not only their oath, but the commitment to those people that they are privileged to command. Moving on. While we were up in the Great Lakes, while I was up in the Great Lakes, the vessel Michipicoten, formerly the Elton Hoyt II, hit something. We don't know whether it was an uncharted pinnacles, but there are not many uncharted pinnacles left in the Great Lakes, I can tell you that by now. And was carrying a load of taconite, which is treated iron ore. And she was taking on water, and it turns out that the Mayday went out to my old command, Sioux Sainte Marie. The interesting thing about this ship is that she was built in 1952. And she's still steaming and she's still carrying cargo, but probably she will not steam much longer. It looks as if the damage to her is such that she probably is going to have to be broken up. The next week, I will be once again in the Midwest. I am going to a gathering of people who were with me when I was the group commander in Sault Ste. Marie. I'm going to be gone for just several days. However, that will include a Tuesday. And so during that Tuesday, I will be broadcasting from the Midwest once again, and I will be surrounded by some more of my wonderful Coast Guard people. My final note here today is that I commend to all of you who are veterans. Here's a quick one. Get your pencil and paper. MyHealth, all one word, .va.gov. It's a wonderful site for everybody who has served. And this particular issue talks about Agent Orange. If you served anywhere in country in Vietnam and you are not on the Agent Orange register, and gotten yourself working with the VA to get checked out for any Agent Orange effects, now's the time to do it because time marcheth on. I have come now to the end of my time together with us. This is your Captain Joe. As always, I am on station and watching properly. And even though I've had to report a couple of sad things, and I have a couple of people on the binnacle list about which I'm very concerned, as always, I never say goodbye. I say until we meet again, and we'll meet again this time from, once again, the Midwest. All of you are in the palm of my hand. Take care of each other. Take care of those for whom you are responsible and accountable. And this is your Captain Joe out.